presence of my enemies. The Lord prepares for us His goodness. He prepares so many good things for us. You anoint my head with oil. And that was something customarily done to honour guests at a banquet. So God, in His goodness, actually honours us too. And our cup overflows. Now we have this cup of the new covenant. And out of this flows His goodness and His mercy and His righteousness. They're the benefits that we have from being connected with Christ, from having Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So our cup overflows, and from that comes our generous heart, where we give of ourselves, we give our hearts to the Lord. And whatever the Lord says to you to give, whether it's your time, your money, whatever that might be, give with that generous heart that the Lord gives to us. So from the cup that you have, and that you can allow the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, allow that to overflow in your life, to give, to be generous. And the best thing we actually have to give is the good news of the gospel. So it flows throughout everything. So let's get back to the cup that overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. In Jesus' name we are blessed. In Jesus' name we have so many good things. Let's continue to remember that and be focused on that as we go into this busy season of preparing for Christmas. But all those other things, it's hard. We're in the world, but we're not to be of it. And this is how we can walk freely and conquer that, is by focusing on the Lord and allowing the overflow that He puts in us to show us the way. In Jesus' name, may that be real for all of us this week. Amen.
And we just bless you as you give, guys. As Megan said, if you're giving online, God bless you. We receive that, and we use all the tithes here to obviously sow into the kingdom. And, you know, we are blessed, as Megan said. I just wanted to encourage Megan. You know, Psalm 23 is a real word in season. I was actually at my prayer partner, Dave Barnes, and Rachel's agreeing, Dave Barnes the other day, and at the end of praying with him, I just felt Lord say, just recite Psalm 23 with Dave again. I thought, Lord, you know, this is the most common psalm. You read it at funerals, it's everywhere. And Megan's probably thinking the same thing. But it was really strong upon me. And when I shared that with David, he goes, preacher, you wouldn't believe it. You know, we call each other preacher for fun. And he said, I read this out to my men's group last night and we studied it, you know. And so it's a real, I think, word in season. If you're not already doing so, go back and study Psalm 23 because it's a great psalm. We're going to get Rachel up to share an announcement. Where is Bobby? I'm going to invite Bobby up to discuss what happened yesterday, which was, who was here yesterday supporting the faith? God bless you. I heard it was about 1,000 degrees and you were here faithfully. How, you know, God bless you so much. I hate to say I was down by the beach about that time in New South Wales, so suffering for the Lord. Anyway, these faithful people led by Bobby, yeah, were here in the car park just nutting out, doing a wonderful Christmas faith. You're going to hear about it from Bobby, but I just wanted to honour Bobby who led this. So we can just honour Bobby who, good on you, Bobby. You know, Bobby's got kids, she's got a lot going on, but she somehow managed to organise all of this, you know, in one of the hottest December days in a car park with not much shade we've ever had. And I take my hat off to you. And I just want you to share a little bit about that and also to share what's happening after the service as well.
Thanks, Pete. It was a real combined effort. There was so many people, volunteers that helped, and behind the scenes as well. I actually want to honour Pastor Andrew Cook. So Andrew is our New Hope Care Coordinator. And he has been really working really hard for weeks and weeks, gathering, you know, all the food that we needed yesterday and all our supplies. And Andrew's really humble. He does a lot behind the scenes that no one sees, and he takes no credit. He gives it all to Jesus. And, you know, that's who else we need to honour here today, because without him, you know, we couldn't do anything. And this is why we do all of this stuff, is for Jesus and to bring people to Jesus, you know, like what Pastor Oscar was sharing. You know, so the money raised, it goes towards, you know, our Roma Street outreach. It goes towards our King's Table outreach. It goes towards, at the moment, we're reaching out to 18 hostels around the city. We've now got 5 Bible studies. And we're, you know, we're praying that we're going to grow into more. And, you know, Pastor Chris is doing an amazing job with the new believers. And all of that is such a combined effort. But we can't do that without money. And so that's why we fundraise and stuff. So it started off with Pastor Andrew had organised a clothes drive. And so we get paid 80 cents a kilo for clothes that are getting shipped to Fiji. So before even yesterday, we had already gotten, I think it was about $2,000 from clothes that we'd gathered over the last couple of months. And then... No, that was yours, Pete. Your shoes, I think. and then we got offered a Domino's dough raiser. So yesterday, from 11 o'clock till midnight last night, we got $1 or $2 from every pizza sold. So I got a text this morning. So from Domino's Calvin Grove, we got $331. Yeah. So all up, with our market stall, our sausage sizzle, everything yesterday and the clothes, we're just under $5,000. You know, which is awesome, because it was pretty quiet yesterday. It was our first time and it was hot. It was really, really hot. I just want to honour our volunteers because, yeah, you all did an amazing job. I think a few melted onto the bitumen. We had to scoop them up later. but, yeah, no, it was just such an amazing day, you know. And from that as well, we've also got, you know, people from the community that have now contacted us about helping. Pastor Matt has been plugging it all over the radio. And I don't know if Dan Tyler's here. He's not. I want to honour Dan as well, because Pastor Matt and Dan did an interview on one of the ABC radios this week, and Dan did such an amazing job. He shared some of his testimony and he just gave all glory to Jesus. It was so amazing. So the radio interviews have been shared on our New Hope page and our group. So, yeah, definitely listen to them as well. Those that haven't heard Dan's story, yeah, it's amazing. So give that a listen. But, yeah, so also today, so we do have some leftovers. So we're going to be having a sausage sizzle afterwards. So all sausages will be $1 each. And cans of drink and bottles of water will be $2 each. And Megan has got a Christmas stall up the back. So there's some amazing decorations and cookies and all kinds of things. So if you want to get some decorations or gifts, now's the perfect time. So this all will also be going to New Hope Care, and it will go on to our... tally for our fundraiser total. If you would like to still donate, you can do that online, or we've got FPOS here today, and just put that it's for our fundraiser. Thank you.
And how good's that? Well, I'm going to do that. I was challenged by the Lord because I wasn't here. I'm going to put $50 out there, and whoever wants a sausage, I'm just so thankful I wasn't here yesterday, I'll be honest. But I'm gonna honour that with my own wallet, and just because it's a great cause, you know, and hats off to the guys who were here, amen, who were here slaving it out in, like, I don't know what it would have been out there on the cement and the bitumen, probably would have been out 50 degrees. But anyway, I'll organise that with Bobby. So the first 50 sausages are free, and maybe I'll put another 50 down for the drinks, because I'm really, really thankful I wasn't here yesterday, and thankful to those who were, so amen.
Amen. I just spent the whole time walking around, like, obviously because I'm from Scotland, I'm not used to the heat. And I just, every person I went up to, I'm like, I'm hot. And then I'm over here, how are you doing? I'm hot. You know, and like, I just had this beautiful red, you know, red glow. Oh my goodness. You guys are my heroes. Thank you so much. Bobby, you did outstanding. Thank you so much. What a gift this woman is to our church. Thank you. Okay, I'm here with the announcements this morning. I'll keep it quick. We have Pastor Chris doing the New Believers class after this. This is a foundation class for new believers. Even if you haven't come along to the first one, you can come along to this one. It's a really, really great class to come along to. If you have just entered into becoming a believer, things like this changed my life and my understanding. I knew Jesus and I knew God, but I needed to know more. Like, well, what does it truly mean to be saved? What is baptism? You know, what are these really important key components of our faith? What are they about? And why must I understand them? And this is a really great class to go along to for that. And they also have lunch for you too. So you're just winning all round. Pizza all round. Winning all round. Drinks from Pete and hot dogs. It's the best. The next thing I want to tell everyone about is the Volunteers Christmas Party. It's going to be here on the 17th of December. It's probably like 80% of the church that's coming to that because you are amazing servers. And we are so blessed to have such a servant-hearted church. So that's on the 17th. Families, children are welcome. It's for, because I really truly believe that when an adult and a parent comes and serves, their kids are serving too. They're sacrificing and they're giving to the Lord. And I love it when I see them on the welcome desk and they're like, hi, and they're up here and they're flagging. And I'm like, you guys are amazing. I think they should just run the church anyway. We've got a New Hope Care. Please RSVP on Facebook to that, guys, so we know you're coming. We've got outside caterers as well. So our wonderful Norm and his crew do not have to cook. So thank you for all you guys do. So good. New Hope Care Christmas Appeal. Please, we're looking for donations for Christmas snacks, hampers, non-perishable Christmas foods. Please hand them in at the welcome desk when you come on a Sunday. And also, if you have old clothes, we're still collecting, you know, so please bring them in. You haven't missed the bus there. Please bring them in. They help people in Fiji, and they're helping New Hope Care. I mean, that's two birds there. That's awesome. Serving. We just encourage you guys to be prayerful about next year. You know, there's nothing, for me, there's nothing like serving in God's house. When I first came to New Hope, I was a brand new believer, and within 6 months I was serving on the CD team and I was just burning these CDs, you know, and I didn't really know what I was doing. There was something just so good about it, and I just felt so connected to what God is doing. And anyway, I just encourage you, it doesn't matter where you are or what you feel called to, we will find a place for you to serve. Just come and see Rosie and Aaliyah, who are our volunteer coordinators, or mention at the welcome desk. And we recognize as well that people serve in all different capacities, and that might be in prayer, that might be in giving, that might be coming and cleaning on a morning, that might be on worship. All are important. Every single part of the body is important. And the final thing, sausage sizzle after church. So get your sausage sizzle on. All right, thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Rach. And I'll just sort of clarify a couple of things there. First and foremost, I remember Rach 13, 14 years ago burning the CDs. Sort of should clarify. I said, oh, I was burning CDs. I know what I was doing. We weren't, you know, bootlegging CDs or anything at the church. We were burning the church CDs and giving them out, weren't we, Rach? Yeah. Yes. Just thought I could clarify that. She knew what she was doing. It's none of that. And the second thing I thought I should clarify, just to boost the numbers on Saturday the 17th, that's happening inside the building, not outside of it. So, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That'll be in the air conditioning, I'm assuming. I should confirm that. I'm assuming we're not going back out there again, are we? Rach, that's inside the 17th? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We are inside this building on that day. We're going to have a great time celebrating Christmas as a group of volunteers. Amen. What am I going to do now? I've got to send the kids out. Wonderful. Kiddies, it's that time of the day. You get to run out to kids' church and all the parents say hallelujah. Yeah. And we got, good on you, Maureen's doing it today. I think Beck and, Beck and Virgil are doing the straight arrows, and Maureen and Letitia. Good on you, Tish. Give us a wave, Tish. Yeah, they're doing the bigger kids. So God bless those guys who faithfully serve in the kids' ministry. And finally, we get to, where's... Is he? I know he's moved one more seat forward. He's got it. Now you can't preach from back there, Chris. You're going to have to come all the way. Okay, he's going to sit there. He's going to. He's got to come all the way around. Now, I just want to honour Chris. I've touched on it last week. When we... he's got his soda stream water. He's got...
Stereo.
He's got the still and he's got the sparkly, I think. He's a blessed man. But he mixes in his drinks. Well, we allow that here if it's water, Chris. Anyways, I'll just stop right there. But Chris faithfully served during COVID with a number of others, but I had the privilege early on in that to go out a few times, and I just got to witness Chris in action on the street, just loving on people. And I remember the most, probably one of the most interesting characters I've seen come up to Chris and ask some pretty stiff questions of Chris in a unique way, let's say. And just the way he, with love and tenderness, but without, compromising the truth of the word, was just magnificent to behold. And I just want to honour you, Chris. You know, he's out there just loving on people and just living the gospel. And we need more Chris Bowmans in this house. But we're very blessed to have Chris in this house, and he's bringing us the word this morning. So God bless you, Chris, and let's honour Chris as he brings this word, eh?
Thank you, Peter. All glory to God. I'm just a small servant of a great master. Isn't Jesus wonderful? And this church is wonderful too. It really is. I love this church. I love the love in this church. You know, we have a senior pastor who's a very loving man and a very humble man, a real down-to-earth Aussie bloke. And so he's bearing fruit after his kind. There's lots of men in this church, which is really good because some churches are women-heavy. Not that I mind women. I quite enjoy being around women. But it's good to have a lot of blokes in this church. And they're all the same. They're all loving and humble and down-to-earth and fair-dinkum Aussie blokes. If you're not a fair-dinkum Aussie bloke, you're from another place. We love you too. We love you too. Yeah, in this church, we got Shem, Ham and Japheth and everything in between. All the colours of the rainbow. Mark Twain once said, "The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why." That's good, huh? I like Mark Twain. A lot of wisdom there. Norm's still waiting to find out. But I think, would you say, anyone who's eaten here of a Friday, that Norm's found his calling? There's 300 people per week, average, that get to taste Norm's cooking in Brisbane. A lot of them don't come to church. A lot of them are at the shelters, and we thank God. Many people from the shelters are here this morning. Love you guys. You're my family. So, calling is a very interesting thing. Now, I really want you to do one thing for me. If you don't know your calling, do come forward later, and we will pray for you, because unless you know your identity, you will not discover your destiny. Now, the two people that prophesied this morning, I will say in all sincerity, you've preached my message. I can give the blessing and you can all go home early. Norm, don't say amen so loudly at that point. So the calling basically has three aspects. We are called by God to be saved, to be justified, to become one with Jesus Christ. Then we're called in service. And what's the difference between calling and ministry? As the calling is when God tells you what to do, and ministry is when you do it. It's very important. And then the final is what Paul calls the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not that I've already attained. We shall be glorified and redeemed after we've been sanctified and justified. So, praise the Lord. We will read the scripture that we're going to read today, and then we'll begin with a word of prayer. In Judges 5:31, it starts, "So may all of your enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might, and the land had rest for 40 years." So because of the wonderful ministry of Deborah in Judges 5 and before, and if you've got notes, I want you to do, because the life of Joshua is outstanding, especially today we're going to look at the beginning. But when we see the beginning of the life of Joshua, we want to see the victories that God gave him in his life. And so please, if you want a homework assignment, if you've got a phone, send yourself a message. Judges 6, 7 and 8, read it through. That is so good. Gideon's such an inspiring fellow because he's just a common bloke like you and I. Nothing special about the people that God calls, but it's very special what God does with them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray the word of God would come alive, Lord, to us today. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that it go right to our heart today and that you would bless us and encourage us and inspire us and challenge us and equip us through your word, Lord, that we would discover our identity and we would live in our destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's happening in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it says, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves dens in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. So these are the people of God that walked triumphantly out of Egypt behind Moses. These are the people for whom the Red Sea and Jordan opened up wide and they passed through, and now they're hiding in holes. It's such a shameful thought, such a shameful picture. Whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and tents. They would come up like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste to the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Who knows that when we cried out for the Lord to help, something happens? Who knows that when we cry out in the name of Jesus, that Jesus stands up and fights for his people? That's the truth, my friend. And that's the key to the switch. The switch starts to happen here. The switch starts to happen when the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. It goes on in verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Did not I send you?" And he said, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, O Lord, then show me a sign that it is you who spoke to me." So basically, he does what Elijah does. He makes an offering upon an altar of stone, and the fire comes down from God. And when the angel of the Lord touched it, he touched the offering with his hand, and the fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished. And Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord. And he said, "Alas, O Lord my God. And now I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." And Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. And he called it, "The Lord is Peace," which is Yahuwah Shalom. And to this day it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. So some of you have heard this story before, but I want to unpack this story, because I believe that this story is for you and I today. We want to be called of God. We want to answer that call. We want to do that call like Gideon to the best of our ability, but with God's ability empowering us and working within us to accomplish the task and overcome the enemy. So we'll go back through this and we'll pick it apart verse by verse. So basically, the angel of the Lord comes to and sits under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash while his son was beating out the wheat in the wine press. Now, can you imagine Gideon? He's hiding virtually underground, beating out the wheat in a wine press. If you look very closely, you'll see I put a picture of a wine press up there. But if you can't see it, just imagine. Basically, it's a hole dug into the ground, and at the bottom, there's one place where the wine gathers, and then it's channeled out. There it is. Now, that's a good one. Let's go back to the back one, the next one. Yeah, that's a grade A one. See at the top where they tread out the grapes, and then it goes down in this various places where it bubbles for a couple of days. And then they can put it in jars and either put olive oil on it to seal it or put an uncured cork on it to seal it. But what we're finding with Gideon today is that Gideon is afraid of the Midianites, and he's basically underground. He's living in fear and defeat. Now, if any of you are living in fear and defeat, don't be ashamed. You know God understands the condition you're in. He came to Gideon when he was afraid. Now, I imagine Gideon is hiding. And I think of the widow of Zarephath that met Elisha. And she's basically got enough grain to make herself a last meal. And when Elijah says, come to her and says, can you feed me? She says, I'm just going to bake a cake for my kid and then we're both going to die. And this is the position that Gideon has got himself into. He's defeated. He's totally discouraged. He thinks the Lord has forsaken him and the nation of Israel. And what used to be luxury for him, a place of luxury where wine was made, has now become a place of necessity. You know, I went to North Korea in 1997 and 1998. I ended up going 9 times. And we were bringing in their grain, basically, because the people had 3 plagues. They had a drought, then they had tidal waves, and then they had a cyclone. They were wiped out between 1997 and 1998. The whole nation of North Korea was malnourished. They're stunted, they're small, they're gaunt. They're really a North Korean and a South Korean together at the same time. I can tell you, you don't have to guess which is which. Now, I'm not speaking politically here. I'm speaking of human condition of suffering. And that's what happens in countries where idolatry is present, where they idolize their leaders. Your leader's not going to be able to do for you what the Lord God Almighty can do for you. Every country that becomes that particular social system, I won't even say it because it's irrelevant what social system it is, but any country that idolizes its leader has set itself up to be plagued because the blessing of God cannot come upon a country that puts God out of the picture, officially becomes atheistic, and then they, because man has a God-shaped vacuum in his heart, if you don't put the Lord God Almighty in that place, then your leader becomes your Lord God Almighty, be it Chairman Mao or Stalin or, as I said, I wasn't going to mention the systems. You know all the others, Pol Pot, whoever. It all ends up the same. Now, basically, this is what's happened to Israel because they started to worship idols. It's not mentioned in a particular passage, but in another passage it said because they turned to idols, they turned to Asherah. And Asherah is basically a goddess of fertility. They put up huge phallic symbols and they worshiped them. And the god of harvest and all these other things. So in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared and says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Do you think that Gideon was feeling mighty, strong, and about to be someone's hero? He was feeling like zero. But when Jesus comes into your life, he can change your zero into hero. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't need Batman or Ant-Man or anyone else. You can be Sicily Man or Chris Man or anyone man, right? With Jesus is with you. Jesus boy, I like that. Someone's got a Jesus boyish t-shirt on. But do you think that this Gideon felt valorous and courageous and brave? He didn't even believe what the angel of the Lord was saying to him. But God said, I am with you. No matter how you feel today, how afraid or weak or inadequate or small or ill-equipped, God looks at you and says, here is someone weak that I can pour my strength into. Here is someone that is not afraid, that will not deny my name, and that will stand up, and I will give them bravery and courage. I will place their fear with faith, and they will conquer in my name because I am with them. Amen? They have a battle to fight. They have a war to win. They have territory to take. They have a church to plant. They have a kingdom to expand. Because when Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, who's in charge of heaven? And who does God want to be in charge of earth, therefore? His son, Jesus Christ, through his body, the church. Amen. We all need a vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law is blessed or prosperous. Where there's a vision, you prosper. Where there's no vision, you perish. What do you choose? Perish or prosper? I choose prosper. And I don't just mean financial, although I don't not mean financially. God came to save the whole man. The whole man, the whole woman. Amen. When your mind, look at the V. The bottom of the V, that which touches our mind, is just enough. God gives us just enough so we can understand when the V touches our mind. But look at the top of the V. It's open. It's unending. Those points go out forever. It's like you say the tip of the iceberg. You're the bottom of the iceberg. You're under the water. God touches your mind. But the possibility of what God can do through you when he gives you his vision for your life is unlimited. 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 Amen? Companies are always called proprietary limited. Look at yourself and say, I'm unlimited. Let's do this. We'll do this a few times today because sometime when you speak something out, it activates it. So look at your neighbor and say, you're unlimited. Amen. Feels good, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Now, yeah, good on you, Craig, right? Good on you, mate. You're all unlimited. I like that. Now, humanly speaking, and I've got to say this, because if a man had said this to Gideon, it would almost seem like a lie. Here's this guy, afraid of the enemy, hiding in a hole in the ground, beating out by hand, no doubt, because he couldn't put a donkey down there. Enough grain probably to make the last meal and die because he was so afraid of the Midianites. That's the fact of the matter. It's like those disciples in the upper room after Jesus died. And Jesus appeared to them three times and said the same thing the angel of the Lord said. In Hebrew, it would say, Yare al, do not be afraid. Shalom, Yare al, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. That's exactly what Jesus said. Do not be afraid. 365 times in the Holy Bible is this expression written. Do not be afraid. You can memorize it. Say it to yourself every day. Look yourself in the mirror. Say, do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. Mighty man of valor. You shall overcome the enemy as one man, for I am with you. Oh, that feels good. I might say that to myself tomorrow when I look in the mirror. Hallelujah. Now, why is this happening? And I look at it like this. We are trapped in this little thing. And I love there was a song this morning. It said that something about Jesus walking across the pages of time. I saw that. I thought, wow, that goes to today's message. Because basically, you see, we are trapped in this place called time and we see the present. And then we've got the past and then we've got the future. But you see, God is above all that and not being material, therefore, he's not subject to time. He's outside of time. He sees the past, the present, and the future as one. And when he looks at you and says, don't be afraid, mighty men of valor, stand up for I am with you. You shall go as one man and you shall overcome the Midianites because I am with you. He's not lying. He's seeing the physical finished product of his promise coming to pass in your life as you yield to his will and say, amen, Jesus. I'm going to believe what you say about me, not what I think about me, not the world thinks about me or what the enemies of God think about me because I am who you say I am. Amen. I love that song. I am who you say I am. Sometimes we should sing about Jesus, but sometimes it's good to sing to ourselves too. The Bible says singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's one of those songs where the church is reminding itself, I'm who Jesus says I am. I'm a mighty man of valor. I shall overcome because God is with me. I shall not fear. I shall overcome as one man. I shall defeat the enemy and I shall save my country in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it. Believe it. Hallelujah. God is the great I am. He's not the great I was, the great whatever, and the great it just might happen if. That's not his name. He says, I'm the great I am. He's above everything. He's above your present condition. He's above your past, and he's already in your future. And he sees you as what? As a defeat, as a failure, as a flop, something else that starts with F. A polite thing. A friend of God. He sees the finished product. He sees you as a spotless bride. That's who he's coming for. He sees you as a spotless bride without wrinkle or blemish. That's who he's coming for. He's not coming for fearful, failing flops. He's coming for pure and perfect brides without price. Amen? He sees in you the finished product. And when you fail and fall, you see your failure. But when God looks at you, he sees your future and he sees your success. That's why the Bible says a wise man falls seven times, but the Lord lifts him up. The wisdom is not in the failure. The wisdom is reaching your hand out to God and say, Jesus, here I am. Take me. I'm your friend. I want to walk with you. Lord, help me go another mile, just one more mile. Lord, help me go another mile, just one more mile. I need to feel the touch of your gentle hand. Chris Christopherson, thank you. Like two tracks on a railroad track, when you put your will on God's side, you shall surely reach your destination. That's the truth, my friend. You just need to say amen to Jesus. On Friday night, I give a lesson online with the Thai church. And was concerning this fact, you know that there are 7,000 promises of God in the Bible? That's 20 for every day of the year. And he says that Jesus is yes and amen to all those promises. And he says that by those promises, we partake of the divine nature. My brothers and sisters, stand on the promises. Don't sit on the premises. Stand on the promises. Think every day when you read the word, think of a promise. That's for me, like Megan brought out this morning. My cup's running over. That's for me. Goodness and mercy is following me. That's for me. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I claim that verse every day when I'm swimming in my pool. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Therefore, I pray for a big house with 1 acre of land and 5 bedrooms and a 3-car garage and a swimming pool. I'm not joking, I pray for it. When I get it, I'll invite you there for lunch, okay? Hopefully before I'm 96. Gideon said, if God is your partner, make great plans, amen? God in you is a majority, you know that? How many people did it take to knock down Goliath? Just one. Just one. Not strong enough to battle him in the flesh, but he battled him in the spirit. He said, how dare you stand against the Lord God of Israel? How dare you stand? I'm going to cut off your head, you dog. And I'm going to feed it to the magpies. Well, he would have said that if he was in Australia. So Gideon says, please, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why has this happened to us? You say, why are we overcome by the Midianites? You know, maybe he was a true worshiper of God and he didn't know, but the land had fallen into idolatry. That's why. If you idolize anything but God in your life, you are opening the door for the plagues to come in your life. You can ask God why, but remember that you need to live in holiness and the fear of God for the blessing of God to come in your life. The key, the hinge on the door of blessing is called obedience. When you obey the promise of God, the blessing of God will come in your life. I guarantee you, my friend, I got a story about that in a moment. But remember this, when sometimes you're called to God and you think, I can't do this task. Of course you can't, says Cecily. Of course you can't. But you can let God do it through you. You see, God doesn't call the qualified and equipped, but he does equip and qualify the called. Amen? If you're called by God to do a task, he's going to equip you and qualify you to do that task. Who did God say the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall be my witnesses in all the world? Who did he say that to? Us. But he said to a particular group of 11 Jewish men that were hiding away in their home with a door shut and the shutters down in the middle of the day because they were scared of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, Yare'al Shalom. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. You're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. Who did he say that to? A guy that was so scared, he said, I don't even know him. They said, I can tell by your accent. You come from Stradi. No, sorry. You come from, where was it? Galilee. You come from Galilee. And he said, I don't even know this guy. Jesus? Who's that? That's the guy that Jesus said, when the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. And he preached a rolling sermon in Acts 2. It only takes a couple of minutes to read, but with the power of the Holy Spirit upon it, 3,000 people received Christ that day and were baptized. I love my brother Oscar because it can be 37 degrees in the shade, you know, and the sun shining down this way and the reflection that way and sweat dripping like a sauna. You know, if you go out on Friday, you get a free sauna, like those guys in the car park. Yes, look at it positively. Free sauna. We should put that on the billboard next year when we do a fundraising. But my point is, when you've got the boldness of the Holy Spirit with you, people are going to come to Jesus. 14 people on Friday receive Jesus as their Savior, at least. Praise God. And it happens week after week after week because we are weak, but he is filling us with his strength. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says, where are the miracles today? Where are the wondrous works today? The Hebrew word is the word for miracles. Where are the miracles? Gideon's saying, where are the miracles that God did when he took us out of Egypt? Where's the hot moving of the Holy Spirit? Where are the transformed lives? Where are the new converts being baptized? But now you've given us in the hand of Midian. And the Lord said, God is with us. You know, God, you know, this is actually God speaking. If you know your theology, the angel of the Lord is Jesus in the Old Testament. That's why he builds an altar to the Lord, our peace, Jehovah Shalom, because he saw Jesus, the angel of the Lord. If you've got a question about that, I'll explain it to you later. It's not the message today. But God's answer to Gideon is, God is with you. Gideon's like, but I, God is with you. But I, God is with you. God, God is with you. I'm running out of places. I think I'm going to believe God is with me and I'm going to overcome some Midianites. I'm running out of excuses. So what did he say? Gideon says, but where is God? He's forsaken us. God's answer, go in your might. Save Israel. Did I not send you? That's God's answer. God didn't worry about trying to mop up our problems and wipe up our tears, although he does, but he gives us the vision because he sees us complete in the future, accomplishing what he's promising us today, though they're weak, though we've failed in the past and fearing in the present, we will have faith and overcome and do great exploits in the future because God is with us. We will save Australia. Did he not send us? I love Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke, although he's passed away, he's given his mantle to Daniel Kalanda. Any of you know about Christ for All Nations ministry in Africa? Wow. He always used to say, Jesus will save Africa. He'd always say that. Africa will be saved. And the first time I heard it, I thought, what a pretentious statement is that? 90 million people down and still counting. Africa will be saved. He was getting too many people to meet, and so someone donated $850,000 to the biggest tent that was ever made in the history of the human race. And guess what? By the next meeting, they couldn't use it because there were more people than could fit in that tent. There was 1 million people came to the Lord in one night, and that wasn't an evangelistic estimate. Oh, it's 100,000, 20, about 1 million. It was people who found, signed a declaration card. And it was simple because he believed the vision God had. I believe I'd seen a vision for a blood-washed Africa from Cairo to Cape Town. Jesus will save Africa. Africa will be saved. I'm not very good with my German accent, but I hope you get the thing. Can we start to say like Reinhard Bonnke, from Cairns to, Brisbane, and somewhere down there starts with a C. Launceston, that starts with a C. Seston starts with a C. From Cairns to Seston, from Darwin to Dubbo. From Darwin to Hobart, Australia will be saved. Amen, are you with me? Let's see it. Let's believe it. I don't want to live. I don't want to get to heaven and God said, oh, God bless you. I'm going to call you status quo. You came into a world of nothing and did nothing and nothing changed. No, I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You believe that Australia could be saved and at least that Australia in which you were was saved. At least that place that you lived was transformed. At least Kelvin Grove was transformed. Amen? What a wonderful place. You think an egg factory, there's two churches meeting in this building. Hallelujah. God is transforming Brisbane. Some people cry when the little old chapels close and turn into pancake parlors. But, you know, I rejoice when huge places like this open and become the house of God. It's wonderful because we don't need a form. We've got a function. We've got the anointing. We can worship God anywhere and everywhere, and we do. When God is with us, we're mighty. When God is with us, we're mighty. Jesus said, behold, I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. And some Christians said, I thought he said flower. I'm just going to be nice and sit still and be good. Amen. Don't offend anybody. You know, I read in my Bible in the Gospel of John, which is the lovey-dovey book of the Bible, if you think about it, there was a division among the people because of him. If Jesus walked through a city and Paul walked through a city, there were no undecided people at the end of the day. They either wanted to be saved or stone the messenger. And Paul got stoned to death, but it wasn't his time, so he got up and walked again. He got beaten. You know, so many times it says that Jesus was taken by the crowd to the edge of the cliff. And it says he passed through them. How do you think he passed through them? I think he just sort of did this, you know, a little Tai Chi move. Get out of my way. It's not my time to die. I'll die when I decide to die. Thank you. I'm God. We have power over the enemy. Jesus said, I give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by in any means hurt you. Can we say that we will do the task that God has sent us to do? We're going to save Australia. We're going to save Brisbane. We're going to save Red Hill. We're going to save Kelvin Grove. We're going to save Ash Grove. Any other groves? Orange Grove, that's in California. We'll save that too. Amen. Say to your friend, believe God's promise and go in his power. Now, it's very important you say this because when you say this, something happens. When you articulate something you believe, then creative power is released. Go in God's power, believe in God's promise. Amen. Believe in God's promise and go in God's power. So important. You know, in Genesis, the Spirit of God was there, moving on the face of the water. But until God said, let there be light, you know, nothing happened. We have to articulate what we believe. Speak it out and then do it. Believe it, that's good. Say it, that's better. Do it, that's best. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. Manasseh is the weakest. And I am the least in my father's house. That sounds like David. David was weak. He was out there hiding with the sheep. Even great King Saul was hiding among the suitcases. It says he was hiding in the baggage. He didn't feel like he was worth it. But when he stood up and was anointed by God, he was a great king. Now in his latter end, he goes astray. But the anointing that happened in the beginning was a real anointing. God came upon him, and they used to say, there used to be a saying in Israel, is Saul among the prophets? Because he'd go everywhere prophesying. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, go somewhere prophesying. How can this be? What's God's answer? I will be with you. You shall strike the Midianites as one man. You shall strike the Midianites as one man, because I will go with you. Now, how could he strike the Midianites as one man when he already was one man? He wasn't twins. Unless there's something there I don't see. What it meant was the whole nation of Israel would gather around him as one man. He would cause a unity to come. He would cause a purpose to come in the confusion. He would cause peace to come in the fear and a unity to come in that scattered nation where everyone was doing their own thing. I will be with you. When God is with us and we're united, we can do anything. You know, Jesus, this is God's words in Genesis 11:6. Behold, they're one people, they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. As this was speaking of the evil people that were trying to build the temple to heaven, how much more of God's people? Where we're united again in one language, the language of the Spirit. You know that about tongues? You go anywhere in the world and someone speaks in tongues, you know it's the language of the Spirit. It sounds different than gibberish. It sounds different than a human language. It's unified us again. The Pentecost is a restoration, a redemption of the Tower of Babel. And God says it's only beginning, New Hope Church. Nothing will be impossible for you now when you believe, because you are one. You are one man. Then Gideon starts to yield. He starts to yield. I've got no direction to turn. I may as well believe this. This guy's pretty persuasive. He seems to believe what he's saying. Then he says, if now I have found favor in your sight, show me a sign. We're not going to get into the sign. You know, the first sign was the angel touched the rock and it burnt. And then Gideon went and did two more signs. We call them fleeces. Let the wool be wet and the floor be dry, and let the floor be wet and the wool be dry, or something like that. You know what I mean. Once the wool was wet and once it was dry. You know the story, right? We're called because of God's grace. And this word is found 69 times in the Old Testament. Hebrew word is hedon. Hedon means grace. In the New Testament, it's called charis. And most of you will know that word because things are called charis today. Specifically and most commonly, charisma or charismatic. It's a gift of God. It's first mentioned when God called Noah. And interestingly enough, when God calls Mary, it's the same thing. We are called because of God's grace, not because of our goodness, our works, or our abilities. Very important to know. Our calling gives us our identity. And our identity brings our destiny. Like I said before, if you don't know your identity, you won't find your destiny. Find out what your calling is and then walk in it. That's your ministry. If you don't have a ministry, you know, don't think all the time, and I don't belittle God's ability to call you on an individual level, but don't think all the time you have to have a burning bush or an angel come to your wine press. God may call you through the church, through the ministers of the church, and often he does. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to encourage you, if you don't know what your ministry is, go to the people, as Rachel said before, go to, I believe it's Eliah and Rosie. And say, look, hey, I want to serve. Where can I serve? And God may give you the place where you serve. And when you're at that point, remember Stephen and Philip in the book of Acts chapter 6? They started to do dishes and hand out the lunch. And then God's anointing of miracles came upon them. And they preached and Samaritan's cities came to Christ. And people were raised from the dead and stuff because they started to do what they knew was needed to be done. When God called Moses, he said, look, what's in your hand? A staff. Okay, throw it on the ground. I'm going to change it into something else. See, God will use your natural ability and use it as a key to unlock your supernatural ability through him. So what is that in your hand? So Gideon starts believing. You know, Mary, I want to read this section of Mary. It's Christmassy, but it's very, very relevant to this passage that we studied today, Luke 1. It says, in the sixth month, God came to a city called Galilee, and the angel said, remember, an angel came to Gideon. He says, you highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Favored, grace, charis, chen. Mary was troubled and said, what kind of greetings? Sound like Gideon, doesn't it? The angel said, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You found grace with God. You will have a child and give birth to a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. He'll be great and called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And Mary said, how will this be? Sounds like Gideon, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. I am with you. Go in might, O mighty man of valor. And the power of the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. The holy thing born of you will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, may it be to be as you have said. Until she yielded and spoke out that and believed the promise of God, you know, nothing happened. God needed to get Mary on his side and have her consent to the call in her life to be used by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so many times, it's not wrong to ask for a sign. Sometimes we need a confirmation. You know, in the a follow-up class to this, I want to share with you. It's called Seven Ways to Know God's Will. There are seven ways to know God's will. I'll go through them basically here. The Word of God, the voice of the Word, direct revelations, godly counsel, circumstances and conditions, the witness of the Holy Spirit, and fleeces. But we can study that in detail in a later course. But basically, what happens then is the fire comes. The presence of God comes and burns up the sacrifice of Gideon. You know, it's interesting because although that manifests the presence of God, I believe the purpose of that is to say that whatever we can give, the best we can give is nothing. Because when it comes down to it, only mattered in Gideon's life from this point forward was the presence of God. And so Gideon says, I've met the Lord face to face, and he called that place Yehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And then the angel finally says to him, peace be with you, don't fear, you shall not die. Peace be with you, don't fear, you shall not die. And I want to end with this one verse from Thessalonians, where Paul is reminding us, may the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, he will do it. God who called you will do it. God wants to sanctify you, spirit, soul, and body, and make you blameless, unable to be accused and without fault or blemish until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, without blemish, a bride, spotless, and without blemish. Now, I want to have a closing prayer, and then we'll have prayer for a couple of things, okay? How are we on time? We good? Okay. All right. I just wanted to mention, just very briefly, a time in my life I was feeling really a failure. And I knelt down beside my bed, and this was in Melbourne, Victoria. I was about 20 years old, I think, 21. And I just knelt by the bed, and I started to pray in tongues, and I said, Lord, I just feel like I'm failed. You know, everything I've put my hand to has turned to dust. And I just want you to talk to me, God. And I went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I saw Jesus standing at the foot of my bed. So I can tell you what Jesus looks like, but come and see me later. Well, how he appeared to me, I should say. And he said three words. He said, go to China. I ended up spending 20 years in China. It took me about 17 years from the time I heard that till the time I got to China. Sometimes the final thing that God is giving you the key to believe for will not be manifest immediately in your life. But get busy knowing what you know God needs to be done in the situation you're in today, and one day it will be manifest to you. I still have a few visions that are not fulfilled. I've been to Cambodia several times. I've been to Myanmar. I've been to Laos. I've been to North Korea. I've been to China. I lived in China 20 years. I lived in Thailand 15 years. But there are some visions, and I won't say them today, that have yet not come to pass. And they're visions that are in my heart that only I know about, but I'm believing for, and I will see them come to pass. Because they're spoken to me by the God that doesn't lie. By the God that sees the finished product. It doesn't matter how defeated or fearful or weak I feel today. When God says, I am with you, go in my power and you will defeat the enemy. I will guarantee you, my friend, God is not wasting his breath to pronounce something he himself does not believe. God believes every promise. Joshua said a beautiful thing at the end of his life. He said, all the good things have come to pass that the Lord your God promised. Nothing has not come to pass. All have come to pass. Every good promise of God has come to pass. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to every heart today, Lord God. I know there are people here that have a call of God, and they've been challenged because of circumstances and condition in their life, because they've been knocked down. It seemed like the Midianites have come in and destroyed their crops and filled up their wells and killed their cattle, and they're just there lying in the dust and thinking, how can you use me? But God wants to say to you today, stand up. Mighty man of God, go in your power and overcome the Midianites as one man, for I am with you. For those who's not yet heard the call of God in your life about what he specifically wants you to do as regards the future, as regards the present, as regards a future ministry, I want to pray for you. God, we pray that you speak to every heart today that's calling out to you because they've had a resonance. They've had a response in their heart according to this word about the call of Gideon and even the call of Mary, because God likes to call women and men. And they just want to know, what is your voice? Speak to them today, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, if there's anyone here today that has yet to give your heart to Jesus Christ, because the first point of calling is a response to God. The Bible says God loved the world so much. If your name's Bob, put Bob in there. God loved Bob so much that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, Jim or Jane or Jenny, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. You won't go to hell and be punished for eternity. You will live with God in heaven forever. If that's you and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ today, but you would like to for the first time, please raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. Maybe someone on Facebook even. Why don't we just say this prayer together for the sake of anyone who wants to give their life to Jesus or recommit their lives to Jesus. Oh, Father in heaven, I come to you today because of what Jesus did at the cross. And I say to you, I'm sorry, Lord, for my sin. Please come into my heart and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Now I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd like to do an altar call for anybody who wants to come forward for four things. If there's another thing, that's fine. You may come forward. But the four things are these. One, if you want to know what the calling of God is in your life, please come forward because we want to pray for you. Secondly, you know what the calling of God is, but you've lost the vision and you want to be re-envisioned and re-empowered to do the call of God in life, then please come forward. Third thing is, if you've got any physical sickness, Yehovah Shalom is Yehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, your good physician. Please come forward because he wants to heal you today. And then fourth thing, if you're lacking in any way in financial supply or supply of any kind in your life, open doors for a job, money for a new garage, whatever it is that you need, God wants to bless your life today. So if the prayer team could come forward and help me minister to these that are coming for prayer today. And we're looking to Jesus who is with us. We're mighty men of valor. We shall overcome the enemy because God is with us. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Let's honor Chris and come up for prayer, guys. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. And Matt and Carol are back next week. Praise God. And they'll be all fired up.